Hey, good morning, everybody. This is the kingdom. I hope that one bugs you the rest of the day, one of those earworms. I noticed that sometimes there's a song that will kind of catch on, and then like at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, all of a sudden that thing's playing in my head. You know, that's not a bad phrase for you to have playing in your head. Anyway, well, I'm glad that you're here. Those of you who are gathered online, I'm glad that you're here as well. A couple things before I get rolling here. One is I was just thrilled to have Lori come and share last week. Was that awesome? Yeah, I really appreciated that. And then our social media team just grabbed one of her something from her video, just a short little reel, and I saw that come across my Facebook feed. That was pretty cool too. So I was glad she had a chance to do that. Which reminds me, after service today, Lori's invited everybody to go back where the kids are. Don't be afraid, there's popcorn, okay? So the smell that you have is to entice you in that direction. But anyway, she just wants to make sure that everybody sees what's going on back there. She has it set up. I told her this morning that that I said hi to Mickey Mouse, and I tried to high-five him, but I had to jump because, you know, it's this massive Mickey Mouse that's out there. But the point is that she's trying to invite the church to come back and see what they're doing back there, and it's really something. So if you get a minute right after service, head back there, grab your popcorn. I don't know what other treat she has. I know that sometimes the kids end up with candy. Maybe if you're good, you might get some candy too. I don't know. So it's entirely up to you. But do try to make your way back there. So we deliberately kind of took the first few weeks in January to talk about kids and kids ministry and some of the things that are going on back there. And normally, this time of year, I do this message talking about a theme for the year, and we're finally there. You know, we're finally at the point where we can do that. So does everybody have a handout? If you don't, just raise your hand. We'll make sure there's one over there. So Scott's going to make sure that we get a handout. I don't usually do handouts, but this is one message that I do that's old school, probably because I got it from one of my pastors who did it this way, and I thought it was really useful. So, and then my wife tells me that it's easier to follow along, which I think is probably true. So we'll do that. Thank you, Scott. There seems to be this growing body of evidence that suggests the notion of New Year's resolutions isn't actually an effective way of making change. And I don't know if how many of you have done the New Year's resolution thing. All I know is that I was driving down Elm and the new Crunch Fitness, that parking lot was full the beginning of January. Next month, I'm going to drive by again, and I'm going to see if it's still as full. So a lot of people, they come to this point, beginning of the year, and they want to make some kind of a change, and so they make a New Year's resolution. But instead, what the literature seems to suggest is that it's better to set either goals, some type of a system, or to create habits. That's kind of the, I guess, latest, you know, buzz term. Atomic Habits is a book by a guy named James Clear that kind of captured the attention of the collective imagination these days. But here's the thing. As followers of Jesus, I think we have a better alternative. The one who made us probably knows where we could go and who we might become. Let me say that again, because I think that was a significant point, and it was more significant than your reaction was to it, okay? The one who made us knows where we could go and who we could become. And so at the beginning of every year, I try to offer one way of checking in with God and working on discipleship and development and kind of come back to it again, usually mid-year, just to check in with everybody. But it's simply just asking God for a theme. What's the thing that he wants to work on? What's the thing that he's interested in your life? And then you you check in with him about that development. And by the way, this is a great practice of discipleship. Because our definition of discipleship is actually quite simple. A disciple listens and responds to God. That's it. Now, you have to develop a listening ear, and you have to develop the courage in order to respond to what he's saying to you. But the point is that you have to start somewhere, and what I'm going to offer you today is just simply that, okay? Now, if you want to go a little deeper into discipleship and listening and following, I highly recommend our course on Tuesday nights. Blatant plug, and you are more than welcome to come to that. We had our first session last week. We had 14 people there, by the way, and they weren't all Thrive, which I love. I love the fact. I think that God has kind of put his finger on us as a teaching church, and the fact that we have folks that are outside of our congregation who still come to our training and our teaching is probably a good sign that he's got some things that he wants to do not only through us, but also inside of us. Right? So if you're interested in that, come grab me after service. Be happy to tell you a little bit more about it. Now, I also want to tell you something else that's really cool, because it just happened this morning. This theme for the year, I've been preaching this, I've been practicing this, I don't know how long. Lisa and I had a pastor years ago who taught us this, and so I've off and on have done it for probably a couple of decades. But last year, I had a theme, and the theme was righteousness. And one of the things that the Lord did in my own life through the theme of righteousness was highlight some things in my life that weren't righteous, which, by the way, isn't fun, okay? I'm just going to tell you that. And over a period of the year, I could see him working, identifying certain things. This year, the theme has changed. And my theme for this year is hunger. And immediately the verse in Matthew chapter 5, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, they will be filled. And isn't it really cool that's in my journal, by the way. I can prove it. It's in my journal from this week. And what did we sing today? And sometimes the Lord will do things like that. I didn't talk to Dan about that. He doesn't know what my themes were for last year and this year. And yet that was a song that he picked for this. And it's like the Holy Spirit just kind of pokes me every now and then and goes, yeah, I got you. You're on the right path. Okay. And I'm thankful for those little reminders. And here's the thing. If you don't do some of the work to try to identify those themes, then you miss those moments when God's poking at you, when he's speaking to you about those things. And so you got to do some of that pre-work up front so that you can be attuned to when he's saying some things. So our belief here is that life is better the more that you know God, and this is just one way of trying to connect with him. And so we get help from the New Testament writer Paul. I'm going to pull this up. You actually have it on your handout. It's the scripture passage that that we use. Let me read this. This is Philippians chapter 3. I'm going to begin in verse 10. I suggest that you would, read more than this particular passage, but this is the section that I want to spend some time with today. Verse 10. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings. That sounds like fun, doesn't it? Becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord, and we believe it. And I want you to understand that Paul starts with his goal. This is what he has in mind. He says, I want to know Christ. And isn't that one of the reasons why we come to church? It's not just to feel good. It's not just to see everybody. It's not to enjoy baby crying, right? The giggles, it's awesome. But we do it so that we know Christ, right? We want to know him a little bit more. And so hopefully, you know, one of the things that you'll connect with him in worship and that you'll learn something in teaching, and we want to know him and pursue what he has. That's what Paul is saying. I want to know him. But he also recognizes the fact that this is a process that we go through, not that I've already obtained it. Now, here's the thing. I want to think about who's writing this letter. This is Paul. This is the guy who planted all those churches. This is the guy who wrote the bulk of the New Testament. Yeah, he hasn't obtained it yet. And he understands very clearly that it's a process that we go through to know Christ. You don't have to know him fully. In fact, good luck trying to know him fully right away. And my sense is that there's always another step to take with Jesus. Always. I don't care how long you've been a Christian. I know plenty of Christians who have been in church all of their lives for decades and decades, and they're still baby Christians, right? The point is that all of us are on this journey that we're deliberately trying to grow in our understanding to know him a little bit more, if that makes sense. And Paul is just kind of pointing that direction. But then he says this, this is just such a beautiful phrase, and I think it's the one that we need to grasp onto is, one thing I do. Not three things, not 15 things, one. One thing I do. And this isn't important. I just heard somebody talk about this. I don't remember who it is, otherwise I'd give them credit for it. But they made this comment that we have this word in English called priorities. It's plural, which is really odd because typically you only have one priority. And I don't know about you, but I can only have one priority at a time. The notion of multiple priorities is actually a misnomer because all you end up doing is switching back and forth between multiple priorities. Good luck in accomplishing any of them that way. So Paul kind of clears that fog out and says, one thing I do. He presses on forward towards whatever it is that Christ has for him, right? And that's what we're up to here is to have some type of method to figure out what that one thing is, at least for this season or this point in your year or in this quarter or whatever it happens to be. And I think that, I think what the enemy does to us is he tries to get us to deal with all things at the same time. Has that ever happened to you? It's called overwhelm. Anybody feeling overwhelmed these days a little bit? Yeah, get off of your social media. And so my suggestion here is that if we want to know what that one thing is, how about we ask God about that one thing? If we really truly believe that he knows where we could potentially go and who we could potentially become, wouldn't it make sense to ask him about that? I think sometimes we just kind of hope that, you know, well, if I'm on the right path or a wrong path, God will let me know. How about we ask him first and pursue that he finds important? When you choose a theme for the year, and we're going to talk about how to do that, when you do that, it gives you some focus. It gives you a priority. And then you can begin to see the lessons of your life through that particular lens. And I think that's important because I don't know about you, when bad things happen, I want some context, right? All of us are trying to make sense of the things in our life. We ask the question, why? Or better yet, why me? You know, that kind of a thing. And so in this case that we're talking about here, what we're doing is we're saying, okay, God, what is it that you have in mind that as I go through my day-to-day life, I can begin to look at my life through that particular lens because you want to teach me something? So we're going to ask him first about how about what he wants to do and how we're going to go about it. And And we want to know what's on his heart, because you know what? He does think about you. Not you collectively, you individually sitting in that seat right there. And so on your handout, you're going to see a little, well, somebody pointed this out to me. It's not a triangle, it's an angle, but it is a triangle, actually. And this is our discipleship triangle. Then you and God are at the bottom of that. Your life is at the top. And this exercise to seek God for his wisdom is to go along the bottom side of that triangle before you attempt to live life. Because otherwise what you're doing is you're trying to claw your way up the left side of the triangle by yourself. And I know a lot of people who do that. I probably have done that most of my life. I probably still do it on occasion when I try to do things on my own. But in what we're attempting to do today is to start with God and then live life through that lens. That triangle for me is very helpful. I don't know, I like pictures, so pictures are useful. And I don't want to climb up the left side of that. I want to check in with the one who made me so that I can have some progress and I can actually be effective in being the kind of person he wants me to be. And again, this is one way to check in with God about your growth. And so on your handout, I've got some steps. And if you want to fill this out as we go along and take some notes, that would be great. It'll be useful for you to refer back to as you kind of go through it. Again, this is just one way of doing it. I hope it's helpful to you. So the first one there is to select a theme. Select a theme. And here's how you're going to do that. The first step in the process is always to pray and ask God to guide you. Now, we need to have a talk about this just a little bit. You don't want to skip this step, okay? And a lot of people, what they do is they jump right to the list of potential themes that I have listed for you, and they read through it. That's fine, you can do that, but don't skip the step of asking God to guide you. And that also means don't say a quick prayer. Oh God, show me what you want to do, and then you start reading. Okay? You actually want to take a moment and say, Lord, I'm checking in with you. You're the creator and sustainer of the universe. You're the one who fashioned me in some way to do something good on this earth, and I want to know what it is that you have in mind. Now use your own language. You know, you can do it any way that you want to. But don't downplay or skip that step of asking Holy Spirit to guide you in reading through that list. So, first step is always pray. Second is you read through that list. And what you want to do is note the ones that seem to jump out at you. And they almost always do. There's one or a couple of those words that'll just jump off the page. Some of you have scanned that already, and you already know what word just jumped out at you. That's okay. Still pray about it. That's a good idea, okay? But that's all right. One of those words will jump out. And if it's two or three of them, that's okay, right? We're going to talk about that in a second. You want to pay attention to those particular words. And by the way, even if it's not a word, every now and then, the Lord will give you a phrase. And you may know what that phrase is. It might be two words or three words, but it'll be a phrase that's meaningful in some way. And that's all right. You can write that one down as well. Now, I want to give you two cautions. And I think this is really important. Because sometimes what will happen is that you'll read through the list and none of them will grab your attention. I know this happens to a lot of folks, right? They'll read through that list and they're like, yeah, nothing's really jumping out at me. Or they're afraid something is going to jump out at them and they really don't want to deal with that particular issue. And so, okay, that's fine. So here's my advice, is that you pray and reread it. Read through it first. If nothing jumps out at you, pray and reread it. And if it doesn't come a second time, step away from it for a little while. Come back to it in a day or so. But do come back to it. pray and read. Sometimes for me, I have to let something marinate in the back of my mind. I just have to do that. Some of you who are what I would call internal processors, you will need to do this. I am an external processor. Most of the time, I don't know what I think until I say it out loud. Just ask my wife. And her eyes get big as dinner plates. You want to do what? Lisa, however, is an internal processor, and she may need to marinate on things for a while. That's okay. That's the way God made us, right? And we're checking in with him, and he understands all that. And so if you don't have one that jumps out, that's okay. Come back to it. But here's the encouragement that you need to hear this. God is not silent. He's not silent about this. Oh, I don't have anything. God must not love me. He's not. No, that's not true. God's silence is almost always an invitation for further discussion. You should write that one down because I think that's a big deal. God's silence is almost always an invitation to further conversation. And one of the reasons why he may not have one of those words is he's like, I want to know if you're going to ask me again. I want to know how serious you are about this because I really want to give this to you, but you know, you're going to have to put a little effort into this because he wants that dialogue. Sometimes God doesn't answer prayer right away because he wants to continue to be in conversation and relationship with you. Don't be surprised by that. All right, so God is not silent here. And frankly, I think it's a diabolical tool of the enemy to tell you that he is silent because he doesn't love you. That's not true. There's nothing in the word that says that. The opposite is true. He's looking for more conversation, more discussion. It's an invitation to dialogue with him. And then the other piece of that is, look, even if you're going through that list, write down any words that you think might be highlighted. You know, some of them will jump off at the page. Some of them will just be of interest to you. Write it down. It's okay. And then you can pray about that. Okay? So that's caution number one. None of them grab your attention. Okay? Here's the second one. All of them grab your attention. You read through them and you're like, oh my word, I got to work on all of these. Yeah, that's not from God either. Okay? That's that overwhelm thing that we're talking about. It's a ploy of the enemy. Well, here's the truth of the matter is, you're looking through that list and you think that you need to work on all of them. You may need to. I mean, you might have some issues, brother, sister. You may have to work on all of those. But God gets to decide which one you're going to work on. That's how I approach it when I get to that point where I'm like, oh man, I got so many things. All right, God. Which one do you want to do? And what I try to do is I let God kind of clear off my workspace, and then I can take one at a time. Boom, this is the one he wants to work on, okay? So pray and reread that and see again if another one of those words jumps out. Now here's my experience, an experience of many others who have used this method. Holy Spirit typically will highlight one, sometimes two, and on rare occasion, three words. If it's any more than three words, I can almost guarantee that's not from God. Always one, sometimes two, and on rare occasion, three. One time in the 20-plus years I've been doing this, God gave me two, right? So one, sometimes two, and occasionally three. And remember, every single time that you see those, it's an invitation to that dialogue. And that's how you select a theme, right? So you go through that process and you select that theme. Every year that I do this, what I find amazing is that invariably a couple of people right after service will say, I know what my theme is. Like, yep. And invariably there's a couple of people like, I don't know what it is. Like, yeah, remember, continue to dialogue with the Father. He wants to do this with you. Okay, here's number two, second one down. So number one, select a theme. Number two is build some routines. You got to put a little bit of time and energy into this. It's not just like, oh, there's my theme. You know, you got to spend some time with it. So meditate on what that word might mean. And here's a couple of ways to do it. One is I like to look it up in a dictionary so that I understand what the definition is. And or a thesaurus is another way of doing it. And so you can get multiple words that are kind of similar. I call it a semantic field. And sometimes the word that pops off the page isn't necessarily the word that I'm going to be dealing with. There might be another one that's related to it. And God's just trying to grab my attention for that. So look it up in a dictionary or a thesaurus. Then here's a really good idea. Look it up in the Bible. God may have already said some things about your theme within his word. There's all kinds of resources that you can use. A lot of them are online. I like Bible Gateway is not too bad. Blue Letter Bible is probably my favorite. But there's several others out there. You may have a Bible app that'll allow you to do a word search, but you should look those up online. And then remember, every time that you do this, write it down. Find a place to write this thing down. I heard somebody say this, it's not real until you write it down. And I think that's true. And so take that thing that you're writing down and keep it in front of you in some way. Write it on a sticky note. Put it on the steering wheel of your car. Put it on your computer at work. A lot of you know this. I like to take dry erase markers and write it on my bathroom mirror. So when the mirror gets steamy from the bathroom, I can see what my word and my theme is, and it reminds me of that. Just keep that in front of you so that you can return to it. Regularly. That's the routine. How do I check in regularly? And here's the interesting thing that happens. As stuff goes on in my life, God will bring that back to my mind. Either I'll see it, or somebody will mention it, or the word will just click. You know, I don't know what it is. It depends. I've had it happen in multiple ways, and you probably have too. And you're like, oh, wait a minute. God might be trying to teach me something about this. Yeah, because it's an invitation to a dialogue. Remember? That's what it is. So, select a theme. Number two is build some routines. And here's the third one. Form a team. You got to have some people who are encouraging you in this. There are some folks in this world who are natural encouragers. Have you ever met somebody like that? You just genuinely like to be around them. My mother-in-law was this way. She was a natural, genuine encourager. And it didn't matter who it was or who she was talking to. I just watched her. She would find some silver lining in whatever dark cloud and would just encourage that person. I mean, it was almost annoying, but it was awesome. And you just liked talking to her and hanging out with her. So if you can find somebody to encourage you, that would be great. And by the way, if you can't find an encourager for yourself, then at least be an encourager for someone else, okay? Be the change you want to see in the world. Yes, exactly how we do this, right? Be the encourager if you can't find that one. Also, you might want to ask someone or a couple of people to pray for you and try to find somebody that you trust that will actually do that, that they're reliable in their prayers. Now, here's the thing about praying for someone. Every now and then, I think we need to talk about this. I think it's important. Don't ask them just kind of this general sort of, will you pray for me? Okay, that's fine. For this purpose of checking in with God for a theme for the year, it doesn't have to be a long-term prayer. It can be short-term. In fact, put a timeline on it. This is what I like to do. I have some pastor friends of mine, and from time to time, something will come up, and what I'll do is I'll send a text, and I'll say, hey, I'm dealing with this, or my theme for the year is this. Would you pray for me one time this week about that? And virtually everybody says, yeah, I can do that. Sometimes, and what's really cool, is if they text me a prayer back right in that moment. Man, that's encouraging, you know? So if you ask somebody to pray for you about something, which is, I think, is a good idea, put a timeline on it. You know, it's not like you've got to pray about this till the end of the time. Lisa and I have a friend, her name is Heather, and she is she's a prayerful woman. But we have to tell her when we've received an answer for a prayer, because 3 months later she'll call us and say, hey, by the way, did you get an answer for that prayer? Because I'm still praying about it. That's just who she is. And I think those people are unique, and they're not... Not everybody can do that, but those individuals can. And so it's really helpful to, most people want to say yes to the prayer, but if you put a timeline on it, they're more likely to do it, and that's really what you want. Does this make sense? Okay? So keep that in mind. Put a timeline on it. And if someone asks you to pray for them about their theme, follow up with them with some encouragement. Every now and then, somebody will ask me and say, hey, I've got this theme, and would you mind praying for me? Sure. And I try to remember. I don't do it all the time, but I try to remember the next time I see them is like, hey, I prayed about that. How's it going? Here's your theme. How's that going? And that gives me a chance to dialogue with them. It gives them a chance to process some of the things that God's teaching them through that, and I think that's good discipleship. So, select a theme, build routines, form a team, and here's the fourth one, watch the time. Because what often happens is that we say it's a theme for the year, it may not be a year, maybe a few months. For me, I had one, I think lasted 2 or 3 years. It was the same theme every year. Okay, God, we're going to do this one again because apparently I am slow. Or the lesson is that big and I just need to learn it, right? So, often what you'll see is that if it's shorter than a year, you'll see that one kind of fade out and a new one begin to take its place. That's what happened to me this last year. Righteousness began to fade out and hunger started to take its place. And it all found commonality in that verse, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Okay, now I see how they're connected. So is that one theme or is that two? Yes. Both. And isn't that how God works, right? So that's the thing to think about, is to watch the time, because sometimes it'll last a year or more, and sometimes it'll last just a few months. Or you're going to love this. Sometimes the theme will last for a short period and come back again later. And then you do this. You do this thing where you're like, I thought I already learned that lesson. You did up until that point. But God has more for you. Why? Because it's an invitation to a dialogue. And he's trying to teach you things. And sometimes you have to go through some stuff and take a break from it and come back to it. But you have a kind Father who knows all about you and works with you where you are. So I like to put it this way, that discipleship is couture. It's bespoke. It's tailored to you because the God who formed you in your mother's womb understands you and knows exactly how to talk to you. And we have to trust that. We have to trust that he's going to do that. Dialogue with God. I think that's the big key to all of this. Now, look, there's a number of ways that you can grow in your discipleship. Again, you can take our class. I think that's a great one to do. Again, blatant plug. But it's important that you have some opportunities to do this because I don't think growth just happens. It doesn't. You have to be deliberate about it. It's like anything else. Diet, exercise, disciplines that you have to engage in order to grow and to develop. And discipleship's one of them. The real question is, how important is it to you to become more like Jesus? Well, I don't know about you, but I think the world needs a few more people acting like Jesus. And I want to try to do that to the best of my ability and for you to do the same. So what I tried to provide here is a relatively simple way of doing this that gets you in the habit of listening for what God has to say. But here's the thing that I want you to walk away from this Sunday morning. Do something with your discipleship. For the sake of your own soul, do something. Whether you choose to do this or choose to do something else, doesn't matter to me. I just want you connected to Jesus. One of the things that I'm convinced of is that sometimes I think the church, oh, I'm going to step in it. Here we go. I think the church puts its nose in business it doesn't belong in. Can I just say that? I can't change anybody. Only Holy Spirit can do that. So the best thing that I can do for anyone is to try to connect them back to God. That's what I want for you more than anything else, is that in 2024, somehow you're more connected to God at the end of the year than you were at the beginning. Are you a different person on the 31st of December than you were on January 1st the same year? Are you the same person? Oh, I hope not. I hope that you're a little bit more like Jesus. Even if it's an incremental step, that's my hope for all of us, because that's what the world is desperate for. People acting and loving, thinking like Jesus. So do something. If it's not this, do something. Double dog dare you. Okay? I want you to do something. Because in my mind, life is better with Jesus. Why? Because I can get a heavenly perspective on the nonsense that seems to be going on around me. And there's a lot of nonsense. Have you noticed this? Right? But if you're only in the nonsense, that's all you see. Sometimes you need that heavenly perspective to say, oh, wait a minute. There is a God who's on the throne. There is somebody who cares about me and what's going on in my life, and frankly, the people around me that I can affect, that I can encourage, that I can be a force for good. And I want you to have that perspective. So do something this year to improve your discipleship. Let's pray. God, I'm grateful that you can meet us where we are. I am very grateful for that. Because I know for me that there are some times where I have wandered off a path and I get into the weeds and I wonder how I got there, and yet you're always willing to meet me, to guide me back to the path. And God, it's the same for all of us. You're so good. You're so wise. You're so loving that you're willing to meet us right where we're at. And so my prayer is, Lord, that wherever people find themselves today, they would trust you enough to take one step, to begin a dialogue with you. This isn't theory, this is practical. This is real. This is a God who wants to be with us day in and day out. And that the dialogue would start and would continue, and we'd begin to see you in that light. Lord, I want to pray against anyone who feels like silence. I want to pray for anyone who feels like you are silent. Because I know that there's a competing voice of shame in the back of their mind saying that they're not good enough to hear you. That is a lie from the enemy, and it must be silent in Jesus' name right now. And Lord, I pray that through your Spirit, you'd begin to speak, and that we would have a little bit of help attuning our ears to what it is that you're trying to say, attuning our hearts to be sensitive to how you're beginning to move so we can cooperate with you. And Lord, for those who are looking at that list going, oh man, I got so much. Yep, you may, but it's one at a time. And so, Father, I pray that you'd speak to that person just as clearly, highlighting that one thing that you want to deal with this year or for this season. And Lord, I pray for every person who begins this journey with you, that they would find some progress. That progress would build trust. For a little more progress, for some trust, for a little more progress. And Lord, I also want to pray for individuals who, well, for your church body to be the church body, and that we would support each other. As we become aware of each other's themes for the year, that we would truly be supportive, trying to help them, trying to encourage them to continue on that relationship, that dialogue with you. that you would prompt each one of us to pray for one another on occasion, because your Spirit does that. We want to be the body of Christ with you at the head, and we do that best when we support and encourage each other, try to inspire each other to acts of or deeds of service. And you have so much more for us. And I pray that in this year we would grab hold of that practically, realistically, and follow you. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.